Minnesota Law, 1210 in the Twin Cities. Eric Nelson in for Steve Thompson. Glad you've tuned us in on a sunny Saturday in St. Paul and Minneapolis. Tom Schroyer is here. Tom, my first chance to work with you, so welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Eric.
We'll try to keep this thing out of the ditch for an hour.
Exactly. We're going to have a great show here. Appreciate your sitting in here for Steve Thompson, who's away for the day. And I know you've got a busy day ahead, too, heading over to the Gopher Stadium to present there live for, several hours?
Yeah, we're going to be navigating our way from downtown Minneapolis to the campus after this show, trying to beat the president out of downtown to get over to the U of M.
Well,
and by
right.
the way, the president may preempt us today. You're big, but not that big.
Well, we are very gracious and humbled to be accepting of that stature. You bet that the president may be interrupting us here in the second half of our show, and we'll just have to play it by ear in that regard. But we were looking ahead today, or to today's show, I should say, when we were getting it ready and thinking that not only were the Gophers back at home base over at the University of Minneapolis, or Minnesota's Minneapolis campus here starting today, but also law school started this week at the University of Minnesota. And so we thought it would be really appropriate to talk about law school in general. And our topic is law schools, what's new. And we have here our very special guest from the University of Minnesota Law School, Erin Keyes. Welcome, Erin.
Thanks so much.
We're excited to have Erin here. She is the Assistant Dean of Students at the University of Minnesota Law School and is a graduate of the law school in 2000, quite a few years after yours truly attended the same school in 1974 to 77.
And, I'm having a hard enough time imagining that that's 10 years ago for me, so I don't want to be you.
Exactly. Erin started her law career as a judicial law clerk for Judge Diana Egan, and then she worked for 3 years working in the Central Minnesota Legal Services, which provides legal assistance to families. Maybe you could tell us a little bit what that involved, Erin.
Sure. Central Minnesota Legal Services, or CMLS, is a recipient of federal funding to provide legal services to indigent clients. And our office, at the time that I was working there and still primarily focuses on providing services for victims or survivors of domestic assault and abuse. And so a lot of the cases that we dealt with were family law cases, public benefits, and a lot of housing.
And you continued your work in, let's call it the public sector, by moving back to the university and your current role, which makes you very involved with the students over there.
Indeed. It's a really exciting time to have everybody back. There's always a lot of energy on campus, especially among our new population of first-year students, otherwise known as 1Ls in common law school parlance. So, yes, very exciting time to be there.
Exactly. And also, Erin has been very active in the law school's diversity committee, and we'll be talking some about that here in our program, and has been active with the Minnesota Bar Association's Life and Law Committee, having chaired that for a couple of years here recently. So congratulations, and thank you for all of that service.
My pleasure.
It was, as I was alluding to earlier, or more than that, it was 35 years ago, Erin, when a much younger, I won't say better looking, but certainly more energetic Tom Schroyer started his first week at law school. So, you know, it's hard to believe that time has flown by that quickly. And as I was reflecting back on that time for today's show, I remembered that summer of 1974, when I was getting ready for the big jump into law school, a movie called The Paper Chase was quite popular. And there was a famous scene there that, of course, I took no comfort from as I was looking forward to starting law school. And I wanted to just play that for our audience, and then maybe we'll do some follow-up on it. So can we roll that tape?
You teach yourselves the law, but I train your mind. You come in here with a skull full of mush, and you leave thinking like a lawyer.
That, of course, is the famous portrayal of Professor Kingsman by the great actor John Houseman. And, of course, it's an iconic performance. I must say, though, looking ahead to my matriculation at law school 35 years ago, I pretty much thought that's the kind of professor I was going to be seeing. And I must say, I wasn't disappointed when my first class was with the legendary torts professor at the University Law School, Don Marshall. And so we had some interesting times, obviously, learning how to think like a lawyer, because as Professor Houseman or Professor Kingsley said, our minds were full of mush. And so, Erin, what is it that makes law school distinctive and transformative?
Well, I think a lot of people have the misconceptions that students come to law school where they spend 3 years learning what all the laws are. And given the volume of laws, both in terms of cases passed down from judge to judge over time, and all of the great many laws and rules that are passed down from the legislature, I don't think it would be possible for any one person anywhere to know what all the laws are. So the next time you have a law student over for dinner, try not to press them on your real estate case. What we do try to do in law school is help students indeed learn how to think like lawyers. And the process of doing that is not nearly as terrifying as it was made out to be in Paper Chase or the another book that's well-known, 1L, which a lot of students read before they come. And I can tell you that we don't use that clip as training for our professors at the university. But what law does, what law school does, is it trains students to look analytically at complex factual situations and then learn how to analyze how to resolve the problems that are brought before them based on what past courts have said and based on what the controlling law or rule has to say. And it's a complex process that requires students to be able to read past legal cases. You know, when you're in an undergraduate setting, say in a history class, for instance, you read a lot about things that happened and some analysis about why they happened, but it's more of a narrative. Whereas in law school, when you come into a torts case, for instance, you have to be able to read a complex series of cases that speak to particular problems in that area, and it's a cumulative process that can sometimes be very challenging for students initially.
We'll circle back to talk a little bit more about what makes law school distinctive and what the end game of a law school degree is all about. In the meantime, we would invite our listeners to dial us up and or to text us.
Absolutely. The phone number, 651-989-9226 in the Twin Cities Metro, or 866-989-9226. That's the toll-free line. Also, send us a text, 81807, powered by Wellington Windows and Door Company. And you can catch us on the Internet. We're streamlined around the globe now, WCCORadio.com. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, right here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Eric Nelson in for Steve Thompson today, 1222 on a Saturday. Our studio coordinator is the Hammer, Craig Schreffer. We have the trifecta of major events in Minneapolis today. President Obama will be speaking shortly at Target Center. We will go live when the president takes the microphone. Later on today, Gopher football from the U of M, first outdoor game in 27 years. And, oh, yeah, the Twins are playing right now across town at the Metrodome. Aaron Keyes from the U of M Law School also here. If you want to give us a call, we have some open lines at 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. You can also shoot us a text, 81807, powered by Wellington Windows and Door Company. Aaron, I wanted to ask you something before Tom puts you back on the grill. I have a lot of friends. They've gone through law school, and they've told me the horror stories about how hard it is. How many people who start out thinking they want to be a lawyer actually finish the process?
That's a great question. There's an old urban legend. Actually, it wasn't even legend. It really was the case that past years, law schools used to accept a lot more students than they knew would be successful in finishing the program. So the old saw is at orientation, you'd have this room full of nervous students, and you'd tell them, look to your right, look to your left. Only two of you are going to be here, or only one of you is going to be here at graduation time. We've sort of adapted that at the University of Minnesota. We say, look to your right, look to your left. These people are going to be some of your best friends. They're going to be your future colleagues. You might litigate with each other. You might even preside over each other's cases, but you're starting relationships now that are going to last. And I will tell you that the vast, vast majority of students do finish their law degrees when they start. That's one of the big changes, is that admissions is so selective now to make sure that we have students who have both the intellectual and academic background to be successful.
That's good news.
How selective is law school these days, Aaron?
Increasingly so. We, unfortunately, also at orientation, we have to talk about how our new class is the best and the brightest if you look at traditional measures like the LSAT, the law school admissions test, and undergraduate GPAs. As a graduate from almost 10 years ago, I don't like to think about what that says about my own ability to get into the school now, but I think it means that we're a dynamic community of people who are really interested in using law degrees, not just to fix individual legal problems, but to be engaged in larger discussions in society.
And we were talking a bit earlier in the program about the kinds of transformation that law school is intended, at least designed to produce in terms of a law student's ability when they come out. What in a nutshell is that all about?
I'd say if you could use one phrase, it would be problem solving. Lawyers solve problems every day in a remarkable number of contexts. The traditional view is that lawyers roll into court with their briefcases and argue in front of a judge and have really intense presentations in front of juries. That's actually not all. I mean, it's certainly a part of legal practice, but not every legal practice. Much more commonly, lawyers are sitting across the tables from one another. They're sitting down with clients. They're working out mediated solutions. And that takes a lot more skill than simply being able to speak well in court.
Once again, the phone number is 651-989-9226 in the Twin Cities Metro, or 866-989-9226. That's the toll-free line. Let's go to Winthrop, Minnesota. Tom, you're on the air. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Related to the admissions discussion, how many lawyers graduate a year from the U? And how many lawyers graduate a year from Minnesota law schools? How many law schools are there in Minnesota? And how many graduates are there? And is law a good thing for people to be looking to go into, or is the market saturated?
I'm going to speak, Tom, to the answer that I do know. There are four law schools now in the Twin Cities, some great options for Minnesota residents who are looking at a law degree. In terms of the University of Minnesota, we graduate approximately 250 new graduates who are eligible to sit for the bar exam each year. The other schools vary. I'm not exactly sure, but I would say that probably somewhere in a similar ballpark.
I believe that's right, Aaron. When I last checked, I think that's a little over 1,000 new lawyers being graduated each year by the law schools. And, of course, there are a number of folks who then come to Minnesota to take the bar from having attended law school in other parts of the United States. And we don't have time in this spot to talk about, you know, the opportunities that law school presents, but I think he asks a great question. Why should someone go to law school, and is the market saturated? And I know that we'll have a chance to do that, subject to our interruption to hear the president here, which we're happy to oblige here after our break.
All right, very good. Again, Tom Schroyer, Aaron Keyes in the house. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. More coming up. It's 1227 on News Radio 830 WCCO. We are Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. 1237 in the Twin Cities. Eric Nelson in for Steve Thompson. He has the day off. Tom Schroyer, as always, is here and will be here until 1 o'clock unless President Obama grabs a microphone at Target Center in the next 22 minutes. That's the only way we're not going to hear you or our special guest, Aaron Keyes, from the U of M Law School. We do have some open phone lines at 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. Also, shoot us a text, 81807, powered by Wellington Windows and Door Company. Aaron, I know that you're a big believer that law school is a good thing. Is this the right time? I mean, the economic situation going on, all that stuff in the world. Is this the right time to go into law school?
I think any time is a good time to go into law school if it's the right thing for you and what you want to do with your life. Law as a career is not just one thing. There's the traditional vision of graduating from law school, clerking for an appellate judge, and then going to a big firm practice. That is certainly still an option for many, many people. But like all sectors of the economy and society and other professions, we're seeing quite a bit of upheaval right now, and it's anybody's guess how that's going to shake out. But the one thing that I can say is that, again, going back to this idea of a law degree, a JD as a problem-solving degree, is that for better or for worse, we're not at a loss for problems that need to be solved in society right now. And there's a lot of ways that, lawyers and people with law degrees, whether or not they decide to practice and represent individual clients, there's a lot of ways that, lawyers can be involved in those conversations. You know, the law school is located in Mondale Hall. One of our great statesmen, Walter Mondale, was one of our alumni, and it's great to have him back. We were also honored to have Governor Pawlenty, another graduate, speak to our graduates a few years ago. Everyone from Representative Keith Ellison in the Congress, former Justice Kathleen Blatz on the Minnesota State Supreme Court, and many, many other graduates. You can see that these are people who are using their law degree to go well above and beyond simply solving individual client problems. They are helping to, again, move major issues in society forward. And they span the political spectrum. I think that's really important, too. Lawyers do inhabit positions of power across society, and traditionally the population of lawyers has been limited to in terms of race, gender, etc. Now I think given the fact that we need everybody to be involved in solving big problems, we want to make sure that law school is a welcoming place for students from all backgrounds and perspectives. And so that's something that I think the Twin Cities legal community is really devoted to fostering, as well as the law schools. At the U of M, we just had a great program this past summer. One of the first times we've done this is to have a group of high school students participate in a summer law institute. These are students that maybe haven't had lawyers in their families before. They didn't grow up talking about law at the dinner table. But this is the idea of these programs is to introduce the idea of legal education to students who might not otherwise have thought of it as an option. There's a lot of these types of pipeline programs that are starting up. It's exciting to see where this is going to go a few years down the line.
Aaron, we're talking now about the issue of diversity, and I know that you've been active in that. What is the law school doing about that topic?
Again, as I mentioned, the diversity pipeline programs are really critical. In addition to that program for high school students that we've been involved in, there's also an LSAT prep course. You know, some students coming into law school are lucky enough to have the means or support from family to be able to pay for one of these expensive law school application test prep courses. For better or for worse, they do sometimes have an impact on how well the scores are. So we're committed to making sure that students from underrepresented communities have the ability to get that kind of background. And so we have an LSAT preparation course that we offer each summer in partnership with some firms here in the Twin Cities.
I know that when I started law school, we were just on the cusp at that time, I think maybe the second or third year into the great influx of women into the profession. Mm-hmm. How's that faring now?
Well, I would say for my own sake, I'm glad that that happened. And, of course, we continue to be very close to the 50-50 mark. There had been a slight national decline in the past few years in terms of the difference in applications between women and men, but that seems to be adjusting back at this point. Our incoming class this year, the class of 2012, is roughly 45% women and 55% men. I think there are all kinds of different opportunities for people who come to law school for many different reasons.
Aaron, let me ask a personal question. Why did you go to law school?
That's a great question. I was introduced to the idea of the work that Legal Aid did when I was in late in my college career and started to really think about that as an option. And I couldn't have been at a better place to help make that happen. Even before I set foot on campus, I was involved in the Minnesota Justice Foundation, which is it's now a freestanding nonprofit organization that serves all four of the Twin Cities law schools, and it's just a fantastic organization that matches law students with volunteer attorneys and volunteer placement opportunities in legal services organizations and nonprofits across Minnesota. And having that experience, being able to see the connection between what we're learning in class and the real needs of clients on the ground is absolutely transformative. I took advantage of MJF opportunities, other types of fellowships, and it really set the stage for my ability to work in legal services.
It's refreshing to hear your reason for attending law school. Of course, for me, it was to become the next Raymond Burr on Perry Mason, and that didn't quite work out, but here I am on radio. So lucky break for me.
Indeed.
All right.
Hey, what about when somebody like Judge Sonia Sotomayor gets onto the U.S. Supreme Court? Does that help get more women involved in the law process?
Well, absolutely. I think, someone like Justice Sotomayor, who is incredibly intelligent, incredibly accomplished, and absolutely worthy of placement on the court, it does a couple things. Number one is it shows that there are women from many backgrounds who are out here already pursuing law degrees and legal careers, but it also hopefully does serve to inspire other young women, other students from any background who might want to make the law their profession. And there are many different reasons why people go to law school, Tom, as you were saying. I think there's no shame in wanting to make a good living, and I think that's still a draw for a lot of people. One of the realities, whether you're going to the U or any other law school these days, is that the cost of legal education is rising pretty significantly. For those of us who come to law because we want to be involved in some kind of service or working in government, the good news is that there are some options out there. I was a very grateful recipient of loan repayment assistance while I was working at Legal Services through the Loan Repayment Assistance Program in Minnesota, LRAP, just an outstanding organization that helps bridge the gap between the relatively low pay that legal services attorneys earn and the rising cost of paying for their educational debt. So that's good news. Like all nonprofits right now, I think LRAP and legal services agencies could really use some help. The good news, though, in our legal community is that even folks who are doing well right now in firms and making decent money, they're still very much engaged in making sure that these nonprofit organizations that are ensuring access to the courthouse for people without means, there's a lot of support for that, whether it's, many of our graduates who are working in big firms but are nonetheless doing a lot of pro bono work representing clients or simply supporting financially, very critical.
We'll come back on our next segment and talk a little bit more about the economics of law practice. But maybe before the break here quickly, what are some of the wrong reasons for going to law school?
I think sometimes people have this idea about what being a lawyer is, and that can be divorced sometimes from the reality. You hear sometimes people saying, "Oh, I love to argue. I love to speak in front of people," and that can certainly be effective, but. There's a lot more to being a lawyer than simply getting up and stand and holding forth.
All right, very good. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, Tom Schroyer. And, of course, Aaron Keyes from the U of M Law School. One more segment to go. It's 1247 on News Radio 830 WCCO. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Our final segment, 1250 in the Twin Cities on News Radio 830 WCCO. Tom Schroyer, Aaron Keyes from the U of M Law School in studio. Once again, when President Obama grabs the microphone over there at Target Center and begins to speak, we will have the live coverage, so that could be moments away. We'll try to get some phone calls in. Deb in Elk River has a question. Deb, you're on the air.
No.
Hey, Deb.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is, if we had some windows installed here in January, we paid for them a year ago, October, and the wrong windows were put in, and we called the company. They ordered new windows for us, and now just recently we had heard that they're going through bankruptcy or closing their doors. Do we get anything, any help with these windows at all, or are we just out of our money?
A great question. Thanks for the call. The situation you described is truly unfortunate, and, of course, it is not altogether too unfrequent these days. But the reality, the sad reality, is that there isn't anyone, by the sound of it, who's financially responsible for either backing up a warranty issue or a service matter or providing any refunding. If you're entitled to that, you'd have to file a claim with the bankruptcy court when you have that opportunity and then stand in line with the rest of the general creditors in the hopes that there's something left for them at the end of the day. So we do appreciate the call, and I wish we could provide a little bit better thought for you here, as we are with Aaron Keyes, the Assistant Dean of Students at the University of Minnesota Law School, continuing to talk about what's new in law school. Aaron, We were talking about reasons why people go to law school. Are there areas of law that are expanding that people should think about from an economic standpoint? Maybe they want to go back to school, in fact, after some time off school, something like that?
I'll have the caveat to say that I don't work in career services. I'm primarily engaged in helping students make their way through law school. But with that said, I think there are some real expansion opportunities. If you look at what's going on in society right now, big questions about what kinds of regulations are going to be in place, both in the business context and, of course, in healthcare. What a great way to introduce President Obama's remarks. And however you fall on that side, there are a lot of really complex questions there. At the University of Minnesota, we have the Institute on Law, Health, and Life Sciences and a joint degree program that allows students who are really ambitious and want to have their hand in solving some of these really complex questions, allows them to pursue a joint degree. We have joint degree students who are pursuing their JD as well as a master's in public health, a master's in pharmacology, even a couple of really ambitious students who are pursuing their JD and MD simultaneously. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to bite off that much, but these are pretty incredible people. But again, having that dual background really equips our students to go out and be leaders in these really important and difficult discussions.
And I imagine that those can be real door openers, too, in expanding the horizon of a law grad to work in areas outside the traditional law practice.
Absolutely. I think there is no such, I think that the notion of the traditional law practice is really changing. You do need to develop competencies in different areas, areas of specialty that really can allow you to increase your marketability. But also, again, you want to make sure you have a degree behind you that gives you good, solid footing to have the flexibility to move in different areas over the course of your career and over time.
I know as I look back on my classmates from 1977's graduating class, I see how many of them have migrated into different areas, as you suggested, business, healthcare, as well as public service, judicial, public office, and the like. And so it really has been the case that law school education has been a real door opener. And I know that we were talking, too, about the economics. The reality is that people are coming out of law school with a tremendous amount of debt in many cases, and you talked about programs to alleviate that. But are there economic opportunities still for law grads?
Absolutely. Again, it's a wide world out there, and nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know where this economy is going, but we do know that there are signs that it is picking up. And typically, when the economy starts picking up, people start getting a little bit braver, putting their foot in the water, so to speak, with new business prospects. And lawyers can play a part in that, and also play a role in helping make sure that these problems don't happen again.
Thanks a lot.
Tom and Aaron, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you down the road. I believe we're preempted next week by Gopher football, but Minnesota Law by Moss and Barnett will be coming back soon right here on News Radio 830 WCCO.